Well, welcome, men. Glad to be here with you this morning. Those of you who don't know, my name's Kaipo. I have the privilege of sharing the word with us this morning. So glad you guys made it. Those here in Westland, those over in McMinnville, over in Hillsboro. Boy, just a blessing to be here with you this morning. Now, I have to admit, it's a bit of a bittersweet because those who have been following along when I get to share occasionally have been navigating through Nehemiah for, man, almost, I was looking back, it's been almost 4 years now, kind of when, you know, walking through those things, whether it's here on Ironworks or out on the lawn with men's meetings. And so it's been fun, but I did finish it up this past summer. So now I feel lost and purposeless. Where am I? Where, my man, Nehemiah, where am I to go? But, you know, thinking through, praying through that, there was a temptation. I'm like, oh man, maybe I do a recap of something. But no, thinking through that, man, there's some things the Lord's kind of put in my heart that I want to share with you guys this morning. And really the hope as I was praying is, man, it's easy to come into this place. It's easy to come here this morning and really, you know, sort of check this box. I'm like, all right, I'm here. But, you know, truly, I just want to commend you. You don't have to be here. Like this is an amazing sight to see a bunch of men coming on a Saturday morning to dive into the word again. Many of you will probably have gone to church maybe 2-3 times this week. So it's neat, it's humbling that a group of men this size come here to hear from the word, to hear from the Lord. So the thing for you and I to remember, man, expect the Lord to work. Expect him to speak to you. Expect him to want to shape and mold you. My job is, as best we can, as faithfully unto the Lord, is to share and teach and instruct. Your job is to hear, to listen, and then to heed, is to really put that into practice. And so that's my prayer. That's been my prayer this week is, Lord, it's easy to come in and just come into another Bible study. You know, come and listen to some guy, some chump, share the word. Hopefully he's got different stories or something that's going to entertain me. But really my hope is not that. It's, man, would the Lord change us? Would he really help us to focus in on him? So the where we're headed this morning is going to be over there in 1 Timothy chapter 6. So if you got your Bibles, you can head on over there. Yep, no more Nehemiah. But I love the Apostle Paul, and I love how he gives these admonitions to his young protege, Timothy. Timothy, a young pastor who has, man, just a great example for many of us. But 1 Timothy chapter 6 is where we're going to start. A little bit of background before we read into this. You know, 1 Timothy chapter 6, we're reminded, chapter 1, sort of the church and its ministry, its message to those around. In chapters 2 and 3, we see that the church and how it's to minister to its members. You see the different members there, from the widows to the elders to the deacons. You know, chapter 4 is now the church and the minister, who the minister, the pastor is, how he's to handle certain things. Chapter 5, we saw the church and its members and how they're to interact. In chapter 6, we see Paul giving this admonition again to Timothy on the ministry to the world, those around them. And so as I was filtering through this, going through 1 Timothy 6, man, I think there's some points for us to ponder here this morning that I'd love to navigate through. So 1 Timothy chapter 6, if you're there, we're going to read through this and then lift up some things for us this morning. Listen as we read. 1 Timothy chapter 6, it says, "Let as many bondservants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and his doctrine may not be blasphemed. And those who have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather serve them, because those who are benefited are believers and beloved. Teach and exhort these things." Verse 3, it says, "If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw yourself. Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. and having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, from which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Verse 11, but you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God who gives life to all things and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ's appearing, which he will manifest in his own time. He who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. Grace be with you. Amen. Lord, once again, our desire this morning is that we would be able to hear from you, that your word would go through us, that we'd be able to be attentive. And as we learn some of these lessons from Paul to Timothy, God, I pray that you would strip away all the distractions. And we ask, Lord, once again, even as John the Baptist prayed, that we would decrease, that I would decrease, that you might increase. So we invite you into this time. We pray your blessing, your covering. We ask that you go before us. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Well, four things as I was prepping and studying and thinking about this this week that I sort of want to start with. And the first point, as we see there in verses 1 and 2, you know, Paul's addressing masters and slaves. And, you know, the Bible never condones slavery, but it did seek to regulate it. And here we saw that Paul's saying, hey, those masters and slaves, make sure those slaves are working hard. Make sure that they're being diligent to the master that they are under. And most all of us can relate to that to some degree. You know, we've got, your employer, your boss, your manager, your director. All of us, to some degree, have somebody that we are under, that we're serving, if you will, that we are slave to. We don't use that phrase as much anymore, but it can, you know, it can relate to some degree. But when I was looking at this and thinking about it, one of the things that I feel like in our society, maybe in my generation and maybe younger, is we're really lacking and missing just the idea of good, hard work, of just working hard. And I see that here, my first point here, verse 1 and 2 is, boy, I think there's a lack of us as men just ready and willing to work hard, to be a hard worker. If you look at the generation, you know, before us, our fathers, grandfathers, that was a tough, tough generation. Man, they knew how to work hard and still do. You know, many of them are, very efficient and diligent in those things. But as I see my own generation, as I see we're sort of coming up the ranks here, I don't necessarily see a very hard-working generation. And it concerns me a little bit. It's one of those things, how do we get to that point? You know, our sons, our kids. I think a lot of times back in the old days, man, you had your property, you had your animals, you tilled the land, man, you're up early doing all these things. And so for us, I think work has shifted. It's different now. You know, most of the work that I do is on a phone or an email or on connections. Most of us can work remotely, not all of us, but work has just changed this dynamic of how I think you and I as men see what work is. You know, when you are there at your job, are you getting there early? Are you right at 5:01? All right, clocking out. There's a mindset, a mentality, I think, for us as guys that I would hope to shift, that I would hope for us to really understand we need to be hard workers. How do you do that? How do you grow in that? Well, I think the key for a lot of us We know this, you know, Colossians 3:23, right? Doing all things heartily as unto the Lord. But the hope for you and me is, remember, men, you don't just work hard so that you're getting up the ranks, so that the boss or the director sees you and now wants to elevate you or wants to, you know, acknowledge you. Hard work, the key behind that, men, is you have to recognize who you're working for. And so for the young men, I don't know if I can class myself as young. I'm probably in between. I feel young, but then I feel old. I'm kind of this in-between zone. But for me, how do you practice that and grow in that idea of working hard? You have to remember, like I mentioned, all these things need to be done as unto the Lord. So one of the hopes, and I would say the desire for us as men, for Athey men, if you've got a job or a business here, my hope would be that anybody who hires one of us or asks one of us to do something, they recognize, oh man, those guys, they're not just gonna complete the task. They're gonna go above and beyond. They're gonna go above and beyond that. And not just so that I give them a good 5-star review or so that I can rate whatever it is. No, but the desire is that for us as men, working hard because God asks us to, because of what God has done for us. I think there's a shift in our mindset nowadays where work is kind of like, oh man, I'm just gonna do bare minimum so that I can, you know, skate on by and do what I need to do to provide for the fam, but that's about it. And so we're looking for the easiest way. Right? You're looking for that passive income. How can I make money without doing anything? You know, that's sort of the dream of so many of us is how can I do the least amount and still get to provide? I think there's a mindset and a shift that I would want for us as men is working hard is good. Work, hear me on this, is good. God is the one who instituted those first jobs, if you will. If you look back in Genesis, right, before the fall of man, Adam was given two tasks. He was told to tend and keep the garden, and then he was told to what? Name the animals. That job, God had given, that was good. It was good that Adam had that ability to do those things, to work hard in that. Now, when the fall of man happened, right, sin entered into the world, work was still there, but now we had to work by the sweat of our brow. Now it was toil. That was difficult. So I think my hope for us in this first point here that I kind of want to nudge us towards is don't be afraid of hard work. And in fact, look forward to that. Look forward to the opportunity for you and I to put our hand to the plow to work hard. But do it, hear me, as unto the Lord. Make sure that when you're working, you're doing that faithfully as a good representation to Christ, to who God is. I think one of the dangers in our workforce when you and I are out and about in our jobs is, yeah, maybe we wanna share the word or we wanna point some of these guys back to teachings, or maybe some of you were brought coworkers here today. That's awesome. I think before you even start in on that, the best witness, the best testimony you and I can be to those around us before we even have a conversation about the Lord, about what God has done inside of us, the best way you can sort of prime the pump for that conversation, be a hard worker. Be one who says, man, that guy, yeah, he's one that you want to look to. He'll get that job done. He's going to go above and beyond. What I think that does is it primes the pump for you and I to bring in, man, this is why we work hard. God is the one who's done that for us. He's why I want to work hard and be efficient in that. I see Paul really giving this admonition to Timothy, you know, be that good slave. Whether your master's a believer or not a believer, work hard for the Lord. Make sure that your focus is on him. Proverbs 14:23, it says, in all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty. Again, work isn't something that we need to be afraid of. I think it's something that we should really hone in on. You know, even 1 Timothy 5:8, right? We all kind of know this one by heart because it says, but if anyone does not provide for his own and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and, check it, listen here, and is worse than an unbeliever. Man, that's some strong language. That's, to be worse than an unbeliever, that's, I mean, we're talking hell at this point, you know, separated from heaven. So when we aren't providing, that's what can happen. So I think the mindset that I want to remind us of is let's work hard. Wherever we're at, whatever God has given to us, whatever is in front of us, be diligent and work hard in those things. This is something that I see in Paul. He emulated that, absolutely. And I know for me, I've been blessed because, I mean, I have great examples. You know, my own father, even being here on staff, you guys know it. You guys see it. I mean, every week you see Pastor Brett slaving away. You know, he is a very, very hard worker and he sets the bar very high. But the other thing behind that is you can really tell as Pastor Brett's teaching as he's doing that, he's doing it for the Lord. It's not so that people look in and the accolades so that his face can be plastered. No, it's when we work, we want to do these things heartily as unto the Lord. And so my hope, my prayer for us is don't be afraid of work. Do it heartily as unto the Lord. Whatever God has given to you, maybe you're in that job right now. Maybe you shifted out of that. Maybe you're in that retired season. And now you're sort of like, who am I? Where am I? You know, I've done this so long in my life and now I've got all this time. Man, whatever God has put in front of you, maybe it's time to get back into serving and volunteering here. Maybe it's pouring into your family, whatever that might be. So work hard. But let me caveat that, the other side of that, because I know some of you are saying like, preach it. Yeah, preach it. There's 6 days. Didn't Jesus say there's 12 hours in a day? You know, I'm going to work, work, work. The other side of that is you can't be a workaholic. Man, you need to recognize that work is for a purpose. It's to, yes, provide for a family, but that does not usurp the importance and the need for you and I to be at home, to be invested in our wife, in our kids. I think sometimes us as men, we run to work because you know what? Putting in the extra hours at work, that's a lot easier than going home and dealing with the kids, dealing with a wife. It's a lot easier. I actually see the results when I'm at work. When I go home, it's hard. It's actual work. So the other part of that then is, yes, let's work hard, but remember that your responsibility is to your wife, is to your kids. Work is an avenue, but really that spiritual covering, that shepherding, being the priest of our own home, that's a greater priority than our work. So understand and recognize that balance. If you're on one side, pray, ask the Lord, Lord, help me to understand. If you're on the other side, maybe the lazy, lackadaisical, man, remember that we need to be a witness. First point I see here is that you and I, we need to work hard. The last verse here, John 4:34, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. And I love this last part where it says, and to finish his work. Not just start it, not just begin it, but to finish. Jesus was the ultimate finisher, right? He was the one who came and finished the task that was in front of him. So first and foremost, let's work hard. Let's be athe men who are known as hard workers. Whatever it is that is comes our way, we're gonna be diligent in that. The second thing I saw here is what I'm titling Godly Gains. That's for all you gym bros out there. You know, all the gonna do some RDLs with our Bibles or some, you know, some bench press with the commentaries. Is that what I'm talking about? No. Godly gains. We see there in verse 6, what I'm sort of referencing, where it says, now, 1 Timothy 6:6, now godliness with contentment is great gain. Great gain. And this is something that honestly has been a little convicting. But right before that, I love that Paul tells Timothy there in verse 3, where it says, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness. Men, that is something that is so central to this church, to this ministry, is that notion right there. Even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. More than anything else, you're gonna see here at Athe Creek, we want the word to be central because it points to who Jesus Christ is. That's our job, that's my job, that's my hope, is that not my words, not Kaipo's words, or Pastor Brett's words, or whoever else is sharing, we want Jesus Christ and his words to be what we are focused on. But Paul tells Timothy, man, if some are not consenting to that, remove yourself from them, withdraw from them. Don't even give them the time of day in that. But here we see that, how do we get godly gains? And again, we're not just talking bench press and RDLs and all that stuff, but great gains, great, good, godly gains. How do we obtain that? If this isn't underlined already in your Bible, it should be. Verse 6 there, now godliness, again, with contentment is great gain, is great gain. Contentment really just means adequate, sufficient, right? It's enough. Men, I'm gonna tell you, this is a hard one. This is a hard one for me. This is a hard one for us because you and I are extremely blessed. Almost to the point, I'd say spoiled, right? We have so much stuff. You know, whoever's in this room, we are by far in the top, you know, 1-2% of the world. Some of you might be thinking, well, I mean, that guy's got the Tesla truck. I don't have a Tesla truck, but he's got the Tesla truck, or I don't have those things. All of us are in this realm of we are very, very, very blessed, very wealthy, if you will, no matter what the spectrum is, and here, those watching online. So what happens is I think you and I struggle with this idea of contentment because we have so much stuff. We have so many things. We have so many things that God has blessed us with, but our focus and our attention now is drawn to that. And you guys know it, right? There you are. You got the new truck. The new truck gets nice and pristine, and that one child spills that one milk down the seat, and you're like, oh, why? Why? No food in the car. Get it out of here. You know, and now, oh, we've lost it. We have all these different things. Contentment is really hard. It's difficult for us, yet I think you and I need to recognize this is something we need to strive for. Contentment isn't sort of optional. Like, if I get around to it, if I think about it, yeah, then I'll be content with what I have been given. No, I think there's a huge struggle with this that we need to be reminded of. You know, Job tells us in Job 1:21, you know, the Lord gives and he takes away. And he was one who was very blessed. I don't really like studying the book of Job because, man, it's just, I hope the Lord doesn't test me like Job. It's like, Lord, I don't want that. I don't want that testing. Help me to look to you. I'm not strong enough like Job or whatever I have to convince myself to say. But he says, he reminded us, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. So in this idea of godly gains, man, you and I need to be, we need to strive for, we need to really focus in on contentment. And how do you and I do that? I think first, remember, men, remember everything that you have is because of the Lord. Now I say that, I think most of you guys even know that, but do you live that? Do you really live that out? Do you and I understand that everything that God has given to us is because of Christ, it's because of what he's done? The contentment comes from, you know, knowing, oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for these simple things that I get to enjoy. There's this quote from Warren Wiersbe as I was studying through this that I was like, oh man, that hits a little too close to home. But he says here, we are so glutted. I like that word. I don't ever use that, but so glutted. We are so glutted with luxuries that we have forgotten how to enjoy our necessities. I'm gonna read it again just because I want to. We are so glutted with luxuries that we have forgotten how to enjoy our necessities. Oh man, how true that is. You know, even this morning as we're driving in here, I didn't think one bit about, man, I'm glad I don't have to walk to church today and, you know, walk 20 miles or so to get here. I get to drive in a car, a car that has heat, that turns on. I don't think about that. And it's convicting to me because God has given me so many of these things that I forget about. As I was studying and prepping this, this must have been yesterday, I had a little break and I was feeding my nine-month-old, in a couple of days, she'll be 9 months. Kaya's her name. We had this big bag of chicken long rice, which is sort of a Hawaiian dish. It's got these rice noodles, translucent noodles with some shredded chicken and green onions, ginger. I'm a little hungry, but we had this bag left over and it's like real soft. And so my daughter Kaya is right at that point where she's not just breastfeeding, but now she's getting to sort of feed herself a little bit, which is a game changer when you have five kiddos because the other ones kind of have to fend for themselves. Like, I hope they get food down their mouth. But it was just her and I. And so I was eating a little bit of this and I had put a little bit on her tray, on her food tray. And she was grabbing it. You know, it's getting everywhere, grabbing it. And some of it's spilling off the tray and she's missing her mouth and it's putting it in her ear. And, you know, she's trying to get it there, but she gets it. You know, she gets a few handfuls and puts it in her mouth. What really struck me, man, is at that moment, she's figuring this out. She gets the food into her mouth and she is elated. Her face is just like, oh, I've put food in my mouth and I can taste it and it's yummy. The salty chicken goodness that's there. I see all of this on her face. And in that moment, the Lord really kind of struck me. He's like, Kaya, my little one, she is so elated that she now has the ability to take food from someplace and put it into her body. Men, I have never once thanked the Lord that I can put food into my mouth. Not once. I'm very thankful for food. I'm thankful for food all the time, I'll tell you that. But the moment where I see this very simple thing that my young one is now able to do, you see it on her face and she's so excited. She's so grateful that, man, and once that happens, then you have to keep dumping more and more and more. It's like, oh, okay, well, calm down here. You know, little one, calm down. She probably gets that from her dad. But for me, I was reminded, man, I forget to just be content and grateful for the simple necessities that God has given to me. That contentment with, where it says there, now godliness with contentment is great gain. Man, I think you and I have shifted our focus so much on so many other things. We have missed out on all these amazing things right in front of us. And I see that with my young daughter. So now every time I eat, take a bite, I'm gonna be a little more thankful. Thank you that I can put food in my mouth. Because you know, that might change. You get a little older, someone else is gonna have to do that for you. but for us, be mindful of that. Remember that contentment comes with recognizing those things. How do we do that? First, I think you have to just take every single thing that we've been given, recognize that that's a blessing of the Lord. Now, the problem is we have all this stuff, right? We have all these things. I think about just as we've gone through Christmas, you know, I've got five kiddos and stuff, and a part of me is like, oh, the stuff and the toys and these things. And it's like, oh, so many things that I even see it in my own children. You know, there's not a contentment for, man, I have this awesome toy, or I've been blessed with this. No, if there's any small little wrong thing with it, dad, just throw it away. Let's just Amazon a new one. Let's just get a new one. I'm like, oh man, that is, I do not want that. But that's us. I think we've missed out on some of these simple things that we can be content in. So to find contentment in this life, I think that's also an issue for a lot of us, because so many of us, we're discontented. Right? You don't know your purpose or what God is calling you to do, whether it's in your job, in your family, in your marriage, you just lack contentment. And with that comes a lack of joy, a lack of purpose. I think some of us can solve a lot of the issues maybe that we're going through, a lot of the struggles, anxiety, maybe depression that creeps in your own life with just a renewed focus on be content. Be content with where the Lord has you, what he's given to you, what he's done in your life. Name those things, write those things down, brothers, because with that, you're gonna see that that's where those godly gains come from. The godly gains come from, and you and I have been very, very blessed. Now, I don't wanna just, we'll talk a little bit more about this later on in the chapter, but I think for us, remember some of these truths, some of these principles, and I see Ecclesiastes 5:10 reminds us, it says, he who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. This also is vanity. You know, Philippians 4, 10 through 13. Let me read this. This applies as well. It says Philippians 4, starting verse 10. It says, but I, Paul speaking here to the Philippians, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned, Paul's speaking here, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Verse 13, we all know this one where it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now we quote that when we're, you know, when you're on the bench or you're running the marathon, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens. Really, the idea here is in want, is in suffering, is in a lack of contentment. So with this, as Paul's admonishing young Timothy here, he says, you know, don't follow after those guys who are seeking greedy gains through godliness. No, this is where you're gonna find contentment, Timothy, young Timothy. Godliness with contentment is great gains. Would you do a little inventory in that, brothers? Would you think through in your own life, as you're talking through talking through that in your own mind, would you think, okay, Lord, what areas of my life am I discontented? Have I been, oh, I want this, I want that. Some of the other dangers with that I think is mindful as well, is a lot of times why you and I are discontent is for this reason. What's that guy got over there? Oh, what's he doing over there? Oh, what's he got in his house? Or we're looking around. You're looking at others and you're comparing yourself, right? Oh, it's such a dangerous thing. I think of even Jesus, when Peter there was speaking and Jesus sort of instituted and reinstituted him after he denied him. P- Peter says to Jesus, yeah, but yeah, you're telling me what's happening to me, but what about that guy? Right? What about him? What about John? That's where, you know, Jesus says, don't worry about him. Don't worry about him. Focus on what I'm calling you to do. Man, I think discontentment comes from your focus too much on others as well. So let's do some inventory. Let's do some work in that area. Lord, where am I discontented? If I'm discontented in life, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord, follow after him. You know, also with that, if we're discontented, even in our marriage, I think with your wife, there's times where that creeps in. And many of us are like, oh, you know, I've been married for however many years and you know, I don't know about this. How do you get that contentment back? How do you find that once again with your wife, with your family? For your wife, treasure her. Right? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You will find contentment and joy once again when you realize you've been blessed with this amazing woman. Lord, help me to cherish, honor, love her unconditionally, sacrificially. The area of contentment, let's do some work in that. Do some inventory in that. Point number three, as I have here, says man of God. Verse 11, we see Paul give another admonition where it says how Paul is to be that man of God. There's a transition here as well where it says in verse 11, but you. Before this, Paul's talking to you know, those imposters, those who are false teachers, watching out for that. But now he transitions and says, Timothy, but you. And then he says this phrase, man of God. Boy, I wish that would be said of me. I wish and hope that that would be something that Paul or the Lord would say, but man of God. How do we become that man of God? Well, it says here, we have four F's. The first one, it says here, but oh man of God, flee. Flee these things. That first one there, flee. The idea of fleeing is, you know, to escape, to avoid, to disappear quickly. We're to flee. We have examples of that throughout scripture, right? And there in Genesis 39, we see Joseph, he fled. There Potiphar's wife is. And she's like, you know, come on over here, big boy. Come lie with me. Now, Joseph didn't ponder and think, you're his wife, should I? And I probably shouldn't do that. No, the Bible tells us he was up and out. He fled. There was no contemplating, thinking through. It was gone. I'm out of here. Now, I think, men, we have to really discern those moments and those times where we need to flee, get out of Dodge, or are there ever times where we shouldn't? I think there are. This is where I get to get my little Nehemiah nudge in here. But Nehemiah was one of those guys. Nehemiah was one of those guys who, as they were building the wall, as they were defending it, if he had fled when the enemy came, man, they would have come and ransacked the city, stopped the work there. So there are times, men, where we shouldn't flee. We should stand firm. You should stand fast. How do we know that difference? How do you know when you're to flee and when you're to stand firm and fight? Well, I love that scripture sort of gives us some of these ideas, and we'll look at these. But Joseph was one who fled when he was supposed to. Lot, right? If you recall Lot there in Genesis 19, he was told, Sodom and Gomorrah, fire and brimstone, here it comes. And did Lot flee? No, unfortunately, he's the epitome of not fleeing, of lingering. There he lingered, longing for Sodom and Gomorrah. And then he says, oh, send me just to a small town close by, to somewhere close by. He never actually left. The angels had to take him up, pick him up, and remove him. Fleeing, men, know the difference of when you and I need to flee and when we need to stand firm. What are the things that Paul is telling young Timothy here to flee? Well, it's all these things right here, all those things. That slacker mentality, as we saw there in verse, you know, 1 and 2, not working hard. To flee the love of money, as we see. You know, godliness with contentment is great gain. Greed, possessions, these false teachers, those are things that Paul is alluding to that we're to flee. But it got me thinking, Paul's used this word flee several other times. He's used this word flee in other contexts as well. And which ones are those? Where is that? Well, one of the first ones is there in 1 Corinthians 6, 18, where it says, flee fornication. Flee fornication. We're also told there in 1 Corinthians 10, 14, to flee what? Flee from idolatry. And then once again, we see another reference to flee in 2 Timothy 2:22, flee youthful lusts. These things, men, you and I, we don't have to wonder or think or spend some time praying about, man, should I run from this or not? These are things that you and I just need to get up, get out of Dodge. Paul tells Timothy, be good at fleeing. And so I'd say first and foremost, in this short little list that Paul's given to us, if there's any hint of that, run. Men, run. Do not mess around with it. Don't contemplate or think, it's just something. Flee. Run. Disappear quickly, as we're told there. I think the other thing too for us guys is you kind of know where we're weak, right? You know those areas where we fall prey and where we're easily tempted. Don't give in to that, men. Don't play around with that. Don't kind of tiptoe through those issues. Get up and get out of there. Practice fleeing from those things. So the idea here is, yes, we need to flee. Flee from that. But if you just flee from one thing, then there's a possibility that you'll flee to something else that's wrong. So we don't just flee, but what we also do, it says there, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. And that's where we get this, the other F, follow. So we flee from sin, flee from fornication, from idolatry, flee from these things, Paul's telling young Timothy. But then you're to follow. Follow these things here, righteousness, godliness, faith, love, pursue love, patience, and gentleness. We also see, I mentioned it, 2 Timothy 2:22, Paul kind of gives us this formula again. He says there, when it says flee from youthful lusts, he tells us again in that list there in 2 Timothy 2 to pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. So man, don't just flee, but also follow. Follow after the right things. I like that. I'm reading into this a little bit too much, but I like that the list that we're to flee from is a lot shorter than the list that we're to follow. Right? The things that we're to follow, and it's this bigger list, righteousness, gentleness, goodness, faith, love, peace. The list that we're to run from and flee from, it's just a few things. Haven't you seen that true in your own life, right? It's only just a few things in your life that really trip you up. You know, whether it's the purity, whether it's what we've talked about, greed, whether it's that pride in your life. You and I know, man, those are the things that we have to run from. Flee from those things. But the list that we get to pursue and follow after Christ and what he's done. Not only flee, not only follow righteousness, but there in verse 12, we have our next one where it says fight. It says fight, verse 12, the good fight of faith. Fight there, that word there is to agonize, is to sort of agitate. And so for us, like I mentioned, there's a time where you're to stand firm, as Nehemiah did. And he was called to fight, to be ready. Had that sword on one hand and that trowel on the other. Men, there will be times that you and I need to fight. And what are we to fight for? What are we to contend for? Faith, true doctrine, his word. So there are things, there are times where you and I need to fight. We need to not be passive and sort of shirk back from our responsibilities, but we stand firm in that. Stand firm in making sure that truth is being spoken of, that righteousness is what we're following after. The faith that we've been given is what we're clinging to. So I think the other part of that recognition is remember that you're in a battle, right? You and I don't go wandering around thinking, oh, well, what's going on? We are in a battle. Those fiery darts are coming. Be armored up. And you guys recognize this too. Ephesians 6 talks about those spiritual weapons, prayer and his word. Go into this fight ready, equipped to do battle against those things that may come our way. So the last F, so we had flee, right? Flee, run from those things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Then fight the good fight. Fight for truth, fight for sound doctrine. But the last F we see here, in the last two verses of the chapter here, we see that we are to be faithful. Faithful there in verse 20 and 21, where it says, guard what was committed to your trust. Timothy is told, guard what was committed to your trust. And so we're to remain faithful in that, faithful in those things. Jesus Christ had basically given to Paul this admonition, these teachings, and Paul was faithful to pass that on to Timothy, faithful to remind him of those things, to be steadfast in that. So I think for you and I too, what is it that God has entrusted to you that you need to be faithful to pass on? I think for us dads, young dads, being faithful to pass on what Christ Jesus has done, the gospel message, being faithful to pass on even some of these characteristics that we talked about, being a hard worker, having a good work ethic, passing that on, being faithful to pass that on, being content. Man, as fathers, Am I showing discontentment? Are my kids seeing that and they're emulating that? Lord, help us. Help us to remember that godliness with contentment is great gain. Passing those things on, being faithful in that. So how do we be that man of God? Flee. Flee the things. Flee fornication, youthful lust, idolatry. Flee these things that Paul says. Follow after Christ. Fight that good fight and remain faithful. Last point here I see here in 1 Timothy chapter 6 is our fourth point here, which says warning to the rich. And again, this one sort of stings a little bit because we're all here. Like, I think we all live in this. We're very blessed and God has given us so much. Paul tells Timothy how to care for these different groups. One of the first groups we saw there in verse of chapter 5, verse 3 through 16, Paul says, hey, this, Timothy, is how you're to care for the widows. How you're to care for the widows. And he's got that sort of locked in. And then Paul says to Timothy, this is how you're to care for the elderly, the elders there. Chapter 5, verse 17 through 25. And then we already saw in verse 1 and 2 of chapter 6, this is how you're to care for the masters and slaves. How you're to teach them, instruct them. But interestingly, we see here in this part, Paul tells Timothy, hey, this is how you're to care for, admonish, instruct the rich. And here are some warnings to give to them. And so these are some warnings, I think, for us as well that are humbling and to think through. The first warning we saw there in verse 17, Paul, again, he says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, not to be haughty. Again, man, you and I, we need to remember that we need to be humble. Make sure, like I mentioned with contentment, remember where everything comes from. If you have that mindset of, you know what, I've made it, I've arrived, I've done the things that I've done in this life, I'm a self-made man, I've accomplished that. Look at the legacy that I have financially. Look at what I've built. Men, be very careful. You know, we have Nebuchadnezzar as an example of that. One who was lifted up, saw all the things that he had done, all the things that he had accomplished. Well, how did that end up? Well, he started growing feathers and chewing cud out on the field. But you know, Nebuchadnezzar, he was humbled. He was humbled in that. My hope for you and I, don't wait for that moment. Don't wait for that moment in your life where you've been so lifted up in pride, recognizing all that you have done, where the Lord has to come in and remind you, yeah, Kaipo, you didn't do any of that. I've done all that for you. So the first warning to you and me, men, now's the time to be humble. Don't wait for that moment where the Lord has to sort of humble you, abase you. Now's the time. How do you and I be humble in that? Give all glory to the Lord for what he's done. Give all glory to what God has done in your occupation, in the job that you have, in your family, wherever you're at. Give glory and honor to him constantly, daily. That is what's going to keep you humble. That's what's going to help you to remember where everything came from. Not only to be humble, but we're also told there to trust God. It goes on, it says, to not be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Trust in the living God. For us who are wealthy, for us who are living in this day and age, it's much easier. You know what? I can trust God a little bit more when I see a little bit more green in my bank account. I can trust him just a little bit more. Lord, if I just have a few more dollars in there, then yes, I'll trust you. Right? But we know that's not true. We know that some days there's green, some days there's red. Next month it's green, next month it's red. It's like it's Christmas all year round. Green and red, green and red, green and red, you know? And you're like, oh man, how do I put my trust in that? You can't, so don't. Now, am I saying, just be, you know, don't worry about anything? Sure, I think there's some sense of you know, being wise and being smart and being, you know, financially savvy. Great, do not put your trust in that. If you are, and I think a lot of us innately, we do. Even us here, I think some of us, you know what? I feel comfortable. I've got the savings account. I've got the, you know, the financial stability. I think I'm good. We're good now. Men, never put your trust in that. Because here's what happens. The Lord may at some point remove that, just like he did with Job. Job was very secure. Beautiful family, you know, 7 sons, 3 daughters, all of them with their own houses, servants. He had everything, and yet that was removed. You and I, we don't know. We don't know when that moment may come in this life where, as Job said, the Lord gives and he takes away. So the hope is right now, do you really trust in God? Oh yeah, I trust in God because, you know, I have my job and I'm pretty safe and secure in those things, or I'm retired, we're set up. If that's your mindset, check yourself. Check yourself. Is your trust really in the Lord, or is it in these riches? Is it in that financial security? Is it in knowing, we're safe, we're provided for in that? You know, it's been humbling for us as well. This has been a neat time where Athey has the privilege and the blessing of coming alongside a lot of people, and we help with benevolence. We help people who are in need, who we help people who are struggling, because there's a lot of people struggling. There's a lot of people without jobs, or people who, man, just need assistance with a rent or food or things like that. And for us, it's a blessing that, you know, we are part of a church that is able to help in that way. But even in that, those conversations that we have with those who are struggling, who are in need, it isn't just that the finances, the money is what's gonna solve that. Having just a little bit more is not what's gonna really safeguard and protect them and bring that security. They might think so. We might even think that of ourselves, but it's who Christ is. It's God. It's him being there through all those hardships and difficulties. Man, would you and I be good at trusting in God? Now, I think for us, that honestly becomes a little harder when we're so comfortable, when we're so secure, when we have everything made. Who also fell into that? Well, we've got a whole Old Testament filled with God's chosen people that were also very discontented, who were also looking to things, this world, instead of God, who provided all of that. Be humble, trust God. A few verses here under that, you know, Proverbs 23:5, it says, "Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven." And I know we all can attest to that. We can all see that. We've all lived that to some degree. Deuteronomy 28, speaking of God's chosen people, it says here, Deuteronomy 28:47, "Because you did not serve the Lord, your God, with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything." One of the issues and the reasons why the children of Israel, you know, were different nations were attacking them is because they didn't realize all that God had done for them. They didn't realize all this came from the Lord. They looked to the other gods. They looked to others. Deuteronomy reminds us, man, the God was the one who gave them the abundance of everything. Hosea 13:6 says, "When they had pasture, they were filled. They were filled and their heart was exalted. Therefore, they forgot me." Hosea 13:6 hits it home here. When we're filled, when we're blessed, when we have it all, what's our temptation? What's our propensity? To forget God. Men, don't forget God. Don't forget every single thing that you and I have been blessed with has been because of who God is. He's the one that's given us the talents, the abilities, whatever it is in our life. Praise him, honor him, glorify him. So we see here the warning to the rich, be humble, know where it comes from, trust God. Now, I know there's been a lot of talk of stuff and materials and we're so blessed and all these other things, but we're also told here, verse 17, to not just be humble and trust God, but enjoy God's blessings. Okay, hear me on this. Enjoy what God has given to you. It says there, who gives us richly all things to enjoy, the last part of verse 17. So you and I don't need to feel bad. You and I don't need to feel bad when the Lord's blessed us with the nice car or the home or the things that are there. We can enjoy that. In fact, I think if you aren't, sometimes you can diminish what God has given to you, right? Like I mentioned, we just went through Christmas time. As I'm handing out those gifts and giving them to the children and family and whatnot, you know, if they're like, I don't want this and I can't. It's like, no, it's a gift. I want you to enjoy this. It brings me pleasure and glory to see that my children are enjoying the gift that we've given to them. So the key behind this too, man, is when God blesses you, and he has, when he gives you those things, enjoy them. Enjoy that blessing. Make sure that you recognize where it comes from, but it's good. It is okay to enjoy what God has given to us. So I go through all this talk just to kind of refocus and remind us, man, we have sort of this unhealthy relationship with stuff at times. All the things that we have comes from the Lord. Enjoy those blessings that he's given. James 1:27 says, "Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." Those gifts, brothers, are good. God has given those to us. Enjoy them. Honor him in that. The last warning we see here to the rich, I'm just putting it as send it ahead. Send it ahead. It says verse 18, let them do good that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. I think the ultimate way for you and I, brothers, to really utilize and enjoy God's blessings, give it away. Use it for God's glory. Use it for his purpose. And I think that's where a lot of the stuff that we've been given, man, we get to honor him. I think about back in the day, we had some leadership guys here who, man, they had the nice house, they had the fancy boat, they had some of those things, house on the river, but you know what they did? Constantly, you know, there were youth nights, constantly they were trying to see, man, how can I use what God has gifted me with to bless others, to provide for them, to enjoy that time? So whatever it is that God's given to you, how can you send it ahead? We don't get to take it with us, right? You don't get to take that big boat or the big home or whatever it is with you. But this reminder is you and I can send it ahead. Use what God has given to you for his purpose and for his glory, allowing God to shine through that. I think that's where this warning to the rich for you and I in our day and age can really begin to honor him in that. So the hope isn't just to be heavy and say, hey, be sad that you have stuff. that's not the hope there. The hope is remember where it all comes from. Remember where all these things come from. Honor him in that. Glorify him in that. Pursue him in that. And then use what God has given to you for his purpose and for his glory. You know, I see these admonitions here from Timothy, from Paul to Timothy, as reminders for me, reminders for us as men here, of how important it is to keep our focus on Christ, to keep our focus and our minds set on things above. You know, Colossians reminds us of this, and I'll finish with this. But it tells us there in Colossians 3, says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then also you will appear with him in glory. Man, we've been given so much. I think my hope here today is remember that. Remember that. Remember what God has done for us. Not just in the materials and the stuff and the things, but I'd say ultimately even there in 2 Corinthians 9:15, you know, normally it's sort of attributed to the Christmas scripture, but it says here, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Who is that? What is that? Well, you guys know this. It's Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's what Christ has done for us. Everything that we're hoping for, that Paul is admonishing to Timothy, is found in Jesus. It's found in Christ. He embodied that. So one of the best ways that you and I can really live out what Paul's telling Timothy, stay locked in and connected to Christ. Be thankful for that gift that Jesus Christ has given to us in salvation. And maybe some of you don't know that. Maybe you're here in this room or you're in McMinnville or in Hillsborough or watching online and you haven't accepted that gift. I am so thankful that it's an acceptance, it's a belief, it's confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus, repenting, turning to him, and you will be saved. The hard work, some of those things that we're talking about, you don't work for salvation. Jesus already did that work. He did that work on the cross for us. And so my hope, my prayer would be that every single person here would understand that and know that. Would you guys pray with me? Yep. Father, we are so immensely grateful. You have given us so much. And we can't even begin to express how much you've done for us. And I pray that this morning, Lord, as we've gone through these different points, the ability to work hard. God, we as men here at Athey, we want to be men who work hard wherever we're at. All that we do, doing it diligently for you. Help this generation, help us here to really embody that, not for our own pleasure or so that people recognize us, but really we just wanna honor you, be a good representation of you. Lord, along with that, I pray that these would be men who are very content. Lord, wherever we find ourselves, we would long for those simple necessities and be thankful for it. Lord, the things that we get to enjoy, I pray that we would vocally, that we would express that and say that because God, you've given us so much. We know that godliness with contentment is great gain. And so I pray that the men here today would find that contentment in their jobs, in their lives, in their families, with you, Lord. Lord, we wanna be men of God. We wanna be ones who flee the things, fornication, youthful lust, idolatry, fleeing those things, but pursuing you, following after you wholeheartedly. Lord, that when this fight comes our way, when those fiery darts are coming, we recognize that we can do battle against that, to be faithful, God, to be steadfast in what you've told us to do. Lord, for all of us who are rich in this room, we ask that you would help us to heed that warning that Paul was given to Timothy, that we would be humble, that we would trust you. Lord, that we would enjoy all that you've given to us, that we would send that ahead, send it ahead of us, Lord. And for anyone, Lord, who's not a believer and maybe who's come here and doesn't know you, I pray that right now you would tap them on the heart. Lord, that you would remind them and show them that, Lord, you don't demand more of us. All you want is us. You just want us to come as we are. Come as we are, sinners, flawed, falling short. But Lord, you are the one that comes and gives us that salvation. So I pray that if anyone doesn't know that, that they would accept you, that they would follow after you. Lord, for the rest of the men here, I pray that, Lord, you'd help us to take these things on into this week, to this weekend. I pray that, Lord, we'd really be these doers of your word, not just hearers only, but to be ones that do what your word tells us to do. So thankful for these guys, thankful for all who are tuning in and watching, and we just ask, Lord, that you would continue to do your work. Fill us afresh with your spirit. Go before us, we ask. We lift all this up in Jesus' name, amen.